while he was at OU, he was the equipment manager.
Yes.
Of the band.
Well, he had bought on account his horn that he played. He started, of course, they all played in school when they were in Chandler, and he paid $2 a month on it, and I think it cost $50. I have some of the receipts from that still. He kept that stuff. And when he got to the university, he, of course, didn't have any money. All of his siblings were back home, and he had two brothers and a sister, and his mother, my grandmother, Elizabeth, always said, if we can get Jimmy off the farm, he will help get the rest of you off the farm. That was her goal. And so Daddy took every job he could get. He did dry cleaning. He worked as a soda jerk. They got a chance to go to the Orange Bowl in Florida. The band did. And so Daddy said, well, you know, we don't have any uniforms. There wasn't anything. That was a very desperate time. And none of those kids had ever been out of Oklahoma. They'd never seen or done anything. He said, but if you can get me a sewing machine, I'll make all of the uniforms for the band, which he did. And I still have his sewing machine.
He made the uniforms.
Yes, he did.
Isn't that amazing?
I won't say they were probably the finest ones, but everybody on the farm knew how to sew. You had to. You know, in those days and times, everything was handmade. And he made all that, and he kept that sewing machine. Both he and my mother were very accomplished seamstresses, and they did a lot of sewing. My mother did all sorts of handiwork, which she passed on to me. I was very lucky with that as well. So, yeah, but he had a great time, and that's how he met my mother.
Right, but let me just say.
Okay.
You say horn. What kind of horn? What trombone?
It was a trombone.
Okay.
I can't remember. I have it in his bio someplace.
All right. And then didn't he sleep in the baggage car to protect the uniforms?
Yes.
And make sure nobody stole them?
Yeah, well, it was the band equipment, because that, you know, if you pay $1 a week or a month for it, and it takes you months to buy it, something, you don't want someone to steal that from you. So, yes, he did.
Right.
And he had a little car, and it was an American Austin Bantam, which he painted cream and crimson for OU, which we still have.
Wow. So we're talking about what years now?
35 through 40-ish, 39, 40-ish, so right. That 5 years. He wanted to be a doctor, but then with the war and with all the stuff that was going on, and he met my mother, which was a marvelous story, because he was working as a soda jerk, and my mother was a Pi-Phi down at OU, and they sat next to each other in a class because no one was between L and G, and that's how it comes. So he thought, well, the way to her heart is to bring her fresh orange juice when she comes down the steps of the OU house, the Pi-Phi house, and that's how he won her heart, was with fresh orange juice that he would squeeze.
Man, little did they know what they had were starting. And if nobody would be able to point them out, but some of the trees at OU were planted by your father, James Lake Sr., on the WPA program in the 30s, Works Progress Administration.
That's exactly right.
Planted trees there.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. All right. So then let's, James, did he go by James?
Jimmy.
Or
Jimmy or Big Jim.
Okay. So can I call him? What should I call him throughout
this? You can call him either one you want,
okay.
Either Big Jim or Jimmy. He was happy. He always said, just call me. I don't care. And you know, everybody misspoke the last name. They wanted to call it Leaky, Leak, Leaky, all sorts of things. And he said, I said, Daddy, they're mispronouncing your name. And he said, I don't care. He said, as long as they call me.
Exactly. Right. It is interesting, the spelling, L-E-A-K-E. Does that come from out of, why wouldn't it be L-A-K-E?
I know, isn't it weird? I think it's English, is what I think. I think that they were originally Welsh, that side of the family.
Okay. Right. All right, so then the marriage of Big Jim and Marjorie, Back in 1940?
40, they got married.
Okay.
I've got that picture if you want to see it, too.
All right. So then, because of that marriage, he gets to know her side of the family.
Yes.
And her side of the family was already established.
Very well established. It was J.T. Griffin and his brother Charlie had moved to Oklahoma just before statehood.
But it was the grocery business.
And they established the grocery business, which is a whole other very, very interesting story.
It is. But then Big Jim went to work.
Yes, really, I believe that Daddy was a born and bred salesman.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I think. I think he was born to be a salesman, and I think he could sell anything to anyone. And so he just pulled his britches up. He started selling for my grandfather, J.T. Griffin, and when they got married, and then they wanted to expand Griffin Grocery. So Daddy and Mother moved to Dallas and to the warehouses down there, because remember, again, the roads are not good at this time, so it's either rail or truck, so you had little warehouses in all the little towns where you would store your product to put in the grocery stores and all. And they were expanding that business. And then, of course, we had the war breakout, and my Uncle John Griffin, my mother's brother, had to go into the war. Daddy was not allowed to go in. He tried. He tried desperately to enlist, but he had a type of glaucoma, and they rejected him several times. So then he was put in charge of getting enough food out for everybody during these war years, I have lots of letters of his where he's trying to get product, and he sent salesmen out trying to get coffee, and finally they had to go to New Orleans to try to get coffee so they could have coffee that they could vacuum seal and put out for sale. And they had crops that they were growing the crops all around Muskogee and areas for your spinach, your corn, your green beans, all of that. And there are letters that he would send to my Uncle John, not knowing if Uncle John Griffin would get these letters, that would be 4 and 5 pages. He kept copies of every letter he ever wrote. And these would be like, John, I tell you that the corn came in well and we got a good crop and we have it all put up, but the spinach was no damn good. And I told him just to plow it all under and we'll do it next year. And he would report on the strawberries and the fruits. So this went on for a very long, very interesting stories on that.
Yes. Well, he played a key role then during World War II. He was actually working for the federal government
Yes.
at that time, wasn't
he? Yes, he was. Mm-hmm.